The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" Jesus said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites. As it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines.' You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition." Then he called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. Fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, good morning. Good morning. Let's make sure you can hear me. Can you hear me? Pretty well. Maybe I'll do this as well. Well, good morning and happy Labor Day weekend to you. God has arranged a perfect day, obviously, for us to be here, and so I'm glad to be with you. Thank you again for having me today. A number of years ago, a friend and I were having lunch together, and I inquired of her how her 9-month-old granddaughter was doing. I knew from previous conversations that the pediatrician had at one time voiced an opinion that this child was a little slow in coming along. Things weren't quite on schedule. And so I wondered if there had been any progress for this grandchild. At 9 months, was Marcy rolling over, sitting up, gabbling, crawling, starting to make the moves to stand up and take a few baby steps? "Well, yes," my friend said, "some of that is happening. But only after the pediatrician let Marcy's parents know they needed to make some very, very big and fundamental changes." Here is what the doctor discovered. During the day, while the young mother was at work, the young father was in charge. The baby, of course, slept at night. And he and the baby spent their days together on the sofa in front of a television. Between the shows and the video games, baby Marcy watched the screen for hours and hours and hours and hours, listening to the words and the music and all the ruckus of the video games while her father silently watched and played. This is how they spent their days together. The pediatrician felt this just might have something to do with the fact that this kid was a bit delayed in her development, and so he made a simple but profound demand of that young couple. He said, "You have got to turn off the television. You have got to look her in the eyes when you talk to her, and you've got to talk to her a lot. Next thing, put her on the floor and get down there with her. Let her move around, make her move around, make her move those arms and legs which haven't done anything for 9 months. Then in a couple of months, baby-proof your apartment and get ready for the fact that this little person is gonna start moving, and she might even be fast." And so get ready. It's going to happen, and soon. What my friend's daughter and son-in-law learned from the doctor was a pretty simple concept of life. And that is, in order to be able to do something, you actually have to go out and do it. Think about that. In order to be able to do something, you have to do it. A baby can't one day begin to sort of stand up and walk, having watched other people crawl and walk around before her. A baby can't one day start talking in complete sentences without learning how to speak from the people around her who are looking at her and she's watching how their mouths go. Any more than you or I could learn how to play the piano just by watching our organist or piano teacher play. We could not learn how to write in cursive. Do people still write in cursive? People do that? Or bake a cake simply by watching somebody else do it. In order to do it ourselves, we have to try it, we have to practice, and actually do it. Well or poorly, it doesn't really matter, in order to be able to do it on our own. At some profound level, we have to become doers, as the writer of the letter of James implores, people who do more than they watch or observe, people who do more than they say, listen, and then say, oh, I get how that goes. No, you got to do it. You have to do it. The trick is, when we do get off the sofa and get onto the floor and actually start to do things, literally and figuratively, come some people who are about to do something, I think. They're going to get busy here. There's a pretty good chance if we start doing things, we might mess up. We might do them imperfectly. You think that ever happens? Anybody here besides me ever exceed the speed limit? You do things. Yeah, you might do get them right, you might get them wrong, but you do it. Anybody here ever, where am I? Let me start again. Anybody ever here give a sermon? Like the baby who takes the first steps, and the baby who takes the first steps and crashes into things, maybe hurting herself or someone else, we're going to mess up. Like the young person who starts to speak and says mazagine instead of magazine, yeah, you're going to get it wrong once in a while. Not a big deal, but a misstep nonetheless. All of us in our doing have done something wrong once or twice. Who among us is blameless? We talked about the speed limit. Anybody here ever, let us say, not quite fairly divided up the Halloween candy? Did you ever do that? Okay, we're together in that one. Anybody here ever say anything gossipy, insensitive, or cruel? Well, St. James is going to have a word for all of us in a couple of weeks. I assure you, come back for that lesson about the tongue in 3 weeks' time or something like that. So when we listen to the news and hear what is going on around the world and in our own country and think that a lot of this is pretty sad, thinking about the ways people are messing up right and left, before we take too big a bite of that Schadenfreude sandwich, and delight too much in the misfortune and missteps of others, Mr. Cohen, Mr. Manafort, the errant clergy in the Catholic Church in Pennsylvania. I got an earful about that the other night with sitting at dinner with a bunch of Episcopalians, how the Catholic Church, oh my gosh. And then a little voice from somewhere around the table said, we have no room to talk. There is no church that hasn't had some kind of problem, so stop already. I think we need to remind ourselves that they are not the first or the last to mess up, and that our church and every church has its own sins to atone for. The truth is, in our doing, all of us, the letter of James and the words of Jesus would have us know, need to remember that what they have to say holds sway. In all those times, when we become aware of our own shortcomings and the way what we are doing is not always what it should be, it's really good to know that we have a law of love which we can follow, which thankfully affords us a considerable number of breaks. That same law of love involves our being extended a measure of forgiveness in God's never-failing gift of himself, in Christ's gift of himself. As it turns out, that law of love very often involves our being given another chance. Back in the times of Jesus, we know the Pharisees were very harsh critics of his. They were giving him no second chances. They were cutting him no slacks or breaks. They sensed that the world they were living in was way too loose. It was getting way too wild. And they wanted to draw everyone and everything back into the law of God and the word of God, back into their understanding of how that went, and so that people would do things the way they knew God surely wanted them done. Jesus, on the other hand, took another path. He was anything but tight. He was expansive, expanding. And he wanted to send out that word of God and that love of God to include unacceptable people, to include those who were lost in sin and struggle, to include those who were mired in the direction in life that life had taken them, or decisions, that they had made, or things over which they have no control at all. Jesus wanted to open it up in some pretty wild and wonderful ways, and he saw new possibilities for that old law and that old word of God. So when it comes to doing, what are we supposed to do here in Longmeadow in these late summer days? The writer of the letter of James gives us a couple of directions, very simple ones. In so many words, he says, care for the poor. Just care for the poor. That is something St. Andrews understands beautifully well. It is something you are already doing. And you are a shining light, an example of putting words into action on behalf of the homeless and the destitute, of extending God's good news by your doing. You already do this. And then the writer of the letter of James says in so many words, keep your life unstained from the world. I don't know about you, but I find that a little harder to do. That is a bigger challenge for me, to keep my life unstained from the world, because the temptations are so great and the distractions are ever present. As it were, the TV is always on and the volume is always turned way up about what the world wants us to see and know about the world. But the solution for us is implied in the words of Jesus in St. Mark's pretty clear and direct gospel this morning. In order to keep ourselves unstained from the world, the best thing we can do is to keep our eye on God. Set ourselves on a holy path and keep our eye on God. With all our might, try to walk on that path every day. That's good advice, I think, for all of us. It also has a special meaning for this congregation. As you walk this path through the process of a search for your new rector, care for the poor, keep your eyes on God, stay on the path. Now, thankfully, there are a lot of people who are pretty good at all of this, who set an example for us in their lives and in the work that they have done and are doing, in the vision and the wider vision and offering their gifts for the greater good. In the last few days, as you know, we've been hearing a great deal about Senator John McCain. I know a whole lot more about Aretha Franklin than I ever knew before last week, because she's been in the news. And the way that those two famous people shared their gifts through their work in the world. There is another person, though, who died in mid-August, whose life we can celebrate, and that would be Kofi Annan, the late Secretary General of the United Nations and a Nobel laureate. When Annan was a student, he was a student at a number of places, but one of the last places he studied was at MIT at the Sloan School of Management. He was there in the early 70s. And he found himself starting to drift a little bit. He kind of felt like he was losing his way. Life was getting challenging. The 70s were challenging, but he was having a bit of a hard time. So he went for a walk, and he said it came to him what he should do. He kind of heard what it was he should do, and these are the words he heard. You must know who you are. You must know what you stand for. Now, figure out where you're going and why you want to go there. Kofi Annan was essentially being directed to keep his eyes on God and to walk on the path of righteousness, the path that Jesus and James call upon us to follow. So as we make our way home from church this morning, as we begin another week, as you continue your process of your search over these next many months, and you're on your own personal path of righteousness, keep these points in mind. Know who, and I would add whose, you are. Know what you stand for. Figure out where you want to go and why you want to get there. If you do these things, your doing will be a blessing both to you and to God and to the wider community. And chances are very good, that you will be on the right path with Jesus. Amen.